Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Greg Jarrett. This flash is brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 10 to 16% annualized returns with immediate monthly distribution. See them at NRIA.net. Stocks decline after the biggest rally of the year in tech shares drove up the S&P to a fresh record. Oil dives. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P 500 is down 0.25%, down 6. Dow is down 0.1%, down 14, while the NASDAQ is down 0.1%, down 8. The 10-year is now up 5/32. The yield is 2.16%. West Texas Intermediate's down almost 3%, $42.90 per barrel. COMEX Gold's down 0.25%, $12.43.80 an ounce. The yen's $1.1159, the euro $1.1138, and the pound $1.2625. In Europe, the FTSE is down 0.4%, the DAX in Germany is down 0.2%, CAC in Paris is little changed. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, Bloomberg Markets continues with Lisa Abramowitz and Pim Fox.
Thank you so much, Greg Jarrett. Bloomberg Markets brought to you by Brown University School of Professional Studies, engaging mid-career professionals with executive master's degrees in business, cybersecurity, healthcare, and technology. Brown.edu/executive. Well, if you wanted to get an example of just how frothy credit markets have become around the world, take a look at Argentina. They just sold a 100-year bond. 100 years with a coupon of less than 8%. Argentina has defaulted 7 times on its debt in the past 200 years. With us to understand how to frame this bond sale, how to understand what's going on currently in credit markets, Ken Monahan, head of global high yield at Amundi Smith Breeden, which oversees about $11 billion, joins us here in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. Ken, did you buy this stuff?
No, Lisa, we did not buy for my clients the bonds, but we did have allocations to the credit elsewhere within the organization. I'm mostly focused on corporate credit, and I have certainly exposure to Argentina as a country. We've been investing in Argentina for the last 2 years, and I think that's one of the things that's driven that, is that there's been more money going into Argentina.
So just zooming out a little bit, we've talked a lot about how emerging markets credit has been in a sweet spot, particularly corporate credit, which you do focus on. Have you been increasing your allocation to developing markets, corporate debt?
Yes, we have. Whether it's been Argentina or Chile or Brazil or Mexico, particularly in Latin America, we have increased our exposure since the beginning of the year.
How much? I mean, significantly?
Well, we probably doubled our exposure, actually. So I think that that's fairly significant. It's now, we're now overweight compared to what our index has. And that's done very well for us, particularly Argentina, to be frank.
Why did you make that call? What was the analysis behind it?
Well, 2 years ago, actually it's less than 2 years ago, I guess now, we saw a change in government going on in Argentina. They settled out with the so-called vulture hedge funds that they had been battling. All of a sudden, they lost their CCC rating, which was important for investors to be able to allocate to that marketplace. And we saw investors looking for opportunities to invest in Argentina. And we thought that that technical strength would support credit there. And it obviously has.
Are you concerned about how much money has flowed into emerging markets debt this year alone? I mean, we've seen some unprecedented flows. A lot of people are thinking similarly to you.
Well, I think that there's some truth in that. And if we look at where spreads are versus the U.S. high-yield marketplace or the European high-yield market, we're trading at all-time tights if we're looking at emerging market debt versus those other benchmarks.
So that means that you're earning the least extra yield to own the emerging markets corporate debt relative to developed markets corporate debt with similar ratings, possibly than you have in decades.
Correct.
And
that is correct.
How do you justify that?
Well, you know, I think you have to look selectively. So we've been looking selectively at different opportunities. And we've taken some of our bets off the table in the context of the last 2 years as well. So 2 years ago, for example, we were buying the bonds of YPF, which is majority owned. That's right. Exactly. It's the Argentinian oil company, majority owned by the government, but it's also got public shares. And when they lost their CCC ratings and the business started to improve, those bonds have tightened dramatically. And that's a bet we've taken off, though.
You've taken off, so you've made the money, and you're going to maybe do something else with it.
Exactly.
Well, let me ask you about that something else, because I just wanted to put this all in the context, looking at some various bond indices. U.S. corporates right now about 3.15, right, on the for yield.
Right.
Taking a look at global high yield, though, we're talking about 5.18, and U.S. corporate high yield at almost 5.5%. Where are you looking?
Yeah, for someone who's doing this as long as I've been doing it, 5.5 doesn't sound like high yield, does it?
No.
Just to put that into perspective, since 2007, the average for high yield bond yields has been 8.25%. So it's come down dramatically.
Well, I bet Ken's looking for double digits, too, right?
Well, I think it'll be difficult to get a double-digit return this year. But if we look, U.S. high yield is up about 5% year-to-date. So, and, you know, if we go sideways, which means we're only clipping the coupon, you're clipping about 50 basis points a month. So you got 6 months left of the year, 50 basis points a month if we go sideways. And, of course, markets always move sideways, don't they? So that gives you an extra 3%. You get 8% for the year. It's not a bad return. That's at the wide end of what we're expecting.
Just quickly, you know, as someone that has a lot of experience in the bond market, it's a dynamic situation when there is an increase in rates and you have different people experiencing something for the first time.
Yes.
What do you think could possibly happen as the Fed raises rates and the reaction to that?
Well, you know, we've historically, when you look at the high yield marketplace, its correlation of returns with treasuries is not high. So in theory, if treasury rates were to go up not significantly, we're not talking from 2.15 or so on the 10-year to 3.5%. But if they're going to go up to the high twos, you know, the high-yield marketplace could probably absorb a lot of that move, but not all of it. But again, we haven't seen rates at these low levels since when. And the high-yield marketplace, when we saw rates at these levels, was kind of in its infancy or even didn't exist. So I can't really predict with 100% accuracy what the reaction is going to be. So, no one can.
So, Ken, this market right now is, to the point that we were making earlier, not cheap. Are you holding – it's actually very, very expensive. Are you holding more cash as a result?
Well, we're not necessarily holding a lot of cash, but we're looking for cash substitutes. So, you know, in our vernacular that we use internally, we call them income producers. So I'm looking for bonds specifically that are going to give me a reasonable cash return with a lot less beta than the market has.
And like, what's an example?
Well, it would be a short duration bond that maybe we're expecting to be redeemed or called in 3 or 4 years. You know, we have some secured bonds, for example, of AK Steel or U.S. Steel. We think are going to benefit as well from some trade protection, but we're generating a nice return in the interim.
Thanks very much for joining us. A lot to learn about. Ken Monahan is the head of global high yield at Amundi Smith Breeden. You're listening to Bloomberg Markets. I'm Pim Fox, along with Lisa Abramowitz. This is Bloomberg.